We are in a series titled 50 Days of Transformation. Wow, we are on week five. And I want to say last week, and you know, we're covering seven different areas. And here's a slide that has those on there. We are currently on week five, but last week was on emotional health. Now, for those of you that are in a small group, I have to say that when Rick spoke or taught on how to be healed emotionally from past wounds, it was probably one of the best teachings in principle I've heard on it. If you didn't get a chance to see that, find a life group leader, get with Bjorg, track down a DVD. I think you'll greatly benefit from it. He said, there's three things, I'm gonna give you the Cliff Notes version. There's three things you need to do to find healing emotionally in some area that you're hurting in the past. One is, you need to be honest with yourself. Secondly, be honest with God. Just lay it out before Him. And thirdly, we have to be honest with one other person. Now listen, you don't tell the entire world. You don't need to tell three or four people. You can if you want. But find one person in your life that you express these emotions to of whatever it is you're wounded by. And when you do those three things, the end result is healing for the damaged places and wounds in our life. It was excellent. I hope that everybody can get a chance to see that. So today, we are in session number five. We are talking about relational health today. This is relationships between husbands and wives, parents and children, co-workers, friends, neighborhood people. These are principles about how to improve your relational health with other people. And so the title of the message is this: Facing the Fears That Ruin Relationships. We're talking about fears today because the emotion of fear can sabotage or destroy or harm the relationships we have with the people closest to us. Now, I came across a few slides on fear that I wanted to set the stage with, and here's the first one. The Bible says, do not fear 365 times. That's like one a day. You see, God understands that as human beings, He made us, He created us. Fear is a big deal. Fear can become a thief in our life. It robs us of confidence and courage, and it takes from us. God wants you and me to deal with the fears that we have in our life. Here's another one. Most people are paralyzed by fear in some area. Overcome it, and you will take charge of your life and your world. Isn't it true? When we face something unpleasant within ourselves and conquer it, we feel more in control. Fear, as I mentioned earlier, is a thief. It steals, it robs from us. Here's another one. He who is not every day conquering some fear has not learned the secret of life. Let's just be honest. We're human beings, and it's a repeated, continual effort to conquer fears in our life. It's nice when it's one and done, but the deep fears of life often take repeated effort to overcome and conquer so that we feel more confident about life. And I believe there's one more. Yeah. FEAR, it's an acronym. False evidence appearing real. Understand that fear is an emotion. It's an emotion. And it can present something that is not real, but it feels real. And that's what blocks us from moving forward or being different or conquering. So we're going to talk about fear today. We're going to talk about the fears that can ruin or sabotage relationships. Then the second part of the message, We're going to talk about the good part, the antidote. And what it is that you and I have to do to conquer these fears that we're experiencing. So let's get started. Take your sermon listening guide. And in your guide, there's a passage from Genesis about Adam and Eve. And it's our primary text this morning. And so here's what we're going to do. I need your help. We're going to read this together very slowly. And we're just going to get in touch with the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. So if you have your sermon listening guide, let's begin. So Eve ate some of the fruit. Then she also gave some to her husband Adam, who was with her, and he ate it. Immediately their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover up themselves. Then they heard the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from God among the trees. But God called out to Adam, "Where are you?" Adam replied, "I heard you coming, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Then God asked, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Adam said, "You gave me this woman, and she gave me the fruit, so I ate it." Then God said to Eve, "Why did you do this?" Eve replied, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." So God said to Eve, "Because you disobeyed me, you'll have greater trouble in pregnancy and great pain in childbirth. And though you'll desire your husband, he's going to lord it over you." Then God said to Adam, "Because you also disobeyed me and sinned with your wife, the ground you work is now cursed. And though you'll eat what you planted, your fields will have weeds and thorns and thistles. And for the rest of your life, you'll have to sweat and work hard to get your food until you yourself are returned to the dirt that I have used to create you." Familiar passage of Adam and Eve in the garden and the fall that happened when they disobeyed God and what happened after that. So we're going to jump in and talk about how our fears can ruin the relationships in our life. Number one, in your notes, my fear of exposure makes me distant. The fear of exposure makes me distant. Read with me verses 9 and 10 in your notes. God called to Adam, "Why are you hiding?" Adam said, "I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." I want you to circle the word afraid. When Adam disobeyed, when Eve disobeyed, they both became afraid. When you and I disobey, a byproduct of our sin or bad choice is something called fear. And here's what we do. We go into hiding. You know why? We fear exposure because we've messed up, we've made a mistake, and we feel bad about it. So he was afraid because he was naked, so he hid. Now, here's what happens. When you and I go into hiding, it creates distance from the people we love emotionally. So when we're struggling, we want to pull back and hide, and it creates this thing called distance. Now, we can be distant from God. He feels like a million miles away. Or we can be distant, listen, to a husband or a wife or some family member, because that's just how it plays out. It says they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. I want to talk to us a little bit about shame. Fear and guilt and shame are like all connected. And I want to tell you the purpose of shame. It's an emotion. God made us. He knows what that emotion is. But we all can relate to shame. Shame is meant to turn us, to repent, to turn to God and say, God, I blew it on this one, and forgive me. I just want to do better going forward. He can forgive us, but listen closely. If shame is not dealt with properly, it will tether us to our past. It will keep us connected to the wound that happened many years ago. Shame does that. It's an unhealthy view of shame when it holds us back. To that degree, we feel it, we experience it. It's meant to turn us, but God has a prescription of how to deal with shame so it doesn't hold us and tie us back to our past. Now, it says in verse 7, so they sewed fig leaves to cover up themselves. Circle the words cover up. You know what we do when we wanna, when we've done something we don't feel good about, we have shame, we have guilt, we're afraid. We just kind of want to cover it up. We want to hide. And what happens is, unless we deal with it properly, we somehow, this cover up is how we do life. Now, how do we cover up? Some people use humor. They're always joking. Doesn't mean they're covering up, but it can be a means to cope. Or here's what we do. We want to look good. We get the right clothes. We drive the right car. We want the house we live in. We just want to look good. And it can be a sense of, well, we got a good image going. How about this one? Online, some people, it's like their life is just totally perfect. And it's an online image. Well, is that really the way it is, or is that just a good front? But the point is that Adam and Eve, they need to cover themselves. You see, we hide when we make a mistake. We all understand that, and we relate to it. Verse 8, then they hid from God among the trees. We do the same thing. We're embarrassed. Humiliated. I don't want to expose that. We hide. We want to cover up. There's an article I read part of a message by Tyler Edwards, and he talked about figure skating in the Olympics. And if you can imagine four figure skaters five that are competing against each other, and the first four go out on the ice in long programs, short program. And they attempt to perform all these jumps, and the triple Lutz or whatever it's called, and the sao cow, and all these things that it's very, very competitive. And then the fifth person gets out there, and the fifth person, all they do is skate a circle around the rink. That's all they do. They just skate very carefully and cautiously, no jumps, nothing risky. And they just do a circle. When it comes time to judge them, the first four, even if they felt, hey, they'll get good marks because they went for it. They skated competitively and with preciseness, and there was some risk involved, and they would probably get good scores. When it comes to judging the last person who just decided to skate around the ring, you know what that's like? That's like the person whom fear has taken root in their life, and they become immobilized, and they skate through life playing it safe because of the fear down deep within, and they're not at a place to engage or to take a risk. And so the author, I thought it was great. You know, that's kind of what shame does to us. It immobilizes us. And we just start skating safely through life. God wants to set us free of that. He wants to bring a new level of health to us so that we can become like the first four and we go for life. We engage. We're not perfect. We don't always get it right, but we're going to go after life. Somebody has written a book titled, Why I Am Afraid to Tell You Who I Really Am. That's the title. And I want to answer it. You know why we are afraid to tell certain people who we are, who we really are, what we've done? It's real simple. You may not like me once I tell you everything I've done. It's called rejection. We all understand that. Fear of exposure. This fear of, wow, I did this in the past. I'm absolutely embarrassed, and I don't know what to do with it, but I've got deep shame about it. Listen, you and I need to understand God wants to deal with the deepest shame pocket in our life. He wants to root it out. He wants to set us free from it. He wants to get a hold of it so that we can be confident going forward. We just have to deal with it through his grace. But fear of exposure makes us feel distant. Okay, number two. Fear of disapproval can make me feel defensive. Fear of disapproval of other people can make me feel very defensive. Read with me verse 12 in your notes. God asked, "Did you eat what I told you not to eat?" Adam answered, "You gave me this woman, and she gave me the fruit." Adam took like a real man. He blamed the woman. Man, y'all came alive. This is great. You know, the thing is, here's what happens. You and I can get very defensive when we fear the disapproval of other people. And so Adam ends up saying, "God, you gave her to me." And then Eve, she ate first. But I want you to notice Eve's response. Then Eve said, "The snake tricked me into eating." Indeed, he did. She said it was the snake. You see, we can get real touchy and defensive when we fear the disapproval of other people, and we can hurl it back. The more critical or attacking, listen closely, the more critical or attacking a person is, the more you know they fear disapproval. So this whole thing about defensiveness, which can undermine or hurt relationships, can be tracked back to a fear factor somewhere in our life, makes us really sensitive. Fear of exposure can make me distant. Fear of disapproval can make me defensive. Here's number three. My fear of losing control makes me demanding. Makes me demanding. You see, the more a person feels like they're out of control, you know what they're going to do? They want to control what's out there. Some of the most controlling people in life are insecure inwardly. They want to control what's out there because they're not in control inwardly. When Adam and Eve sinned, they lost control of their future. It fell off the map. They were out of control. That's a lousy place to be. You and I have been in the same place, haven't we? We've lost control of something because we did something or made a decision or sinned or did something bad. Here's what it says in verse 16. The result of their sin, you'll have yearning for your husband, but he will lord it over you. In other words, men and women are equal in God's sight, but there's going to be some conflict to make it work. It's just the way it is. There will be conflict. And so the word says he will dominate you. In other words, because of how it all fell out, and you know, women have pregnancy and there's pain in that, and the man, they sweat and they work, there's toil and labor. I mean, it's part of the consequence or the result of the fall. But here's the key point. When I fear losing control of something or someone, I can become very demanding. Like, you know what? I want to control it, but I can't always control it. And the more I become outwardly controlling, the more difficult and damaging it can be to a relationship in my life. So we have to work on getting inwardly secure so we don't get too demanding that and end up destroying relationships. So our fears that ruin relationship, the fear of exposure makes me distant. The fear of disapproval can make me a bit touchy or defensive. The fear of losing control can make me demanding of other people. Well, gotta shift gears here. This is the good part of the message, all right? We had to get through those first few points, which are tough ones. The antidote, it's in your notes. And I want you to circle these six words. Learn to live in God's love. Learn to live in God's love. Read with me 1 John 4:18 in your notes. Wherever God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love drives out all fear. I want you to memorize this verse. It says, wherever the love of God is in full force, in abundant measure, in a high degree, when wherever his love is, there is what? No fear. So the antidote of any fear pocket you and I have in our lives is having more of the love of God to consume it, to overcome it, to conquer it, in order to get set free of what's inside of us. So here's 1 John 4:18b. It is the thought of punishment, of a negative consequences, that makes a person fearful. So we get it when we feel fearful about something, ashamed, well, we're embarrassed. We understand all that. But let's talk about the antidote. And the antidote is when you and I allow the love of God, that agape love, to inhabit and overcome that pocket of fear and shame and guilt, that is when we become free people. So let me share with you three thoughts about the antidote of living in God's love. Number one in your notes. Every day, surrender my heart to God. Every day. When you get up in the morning, surrender your heart, everything about you, to God. Just say, here it is. Do it every day. Do it throughout the day. In the book of Job, there's some amazing verses. I want us to read these together. Let's read it. Surrender your heart to God. Turn to him in prayer and give up your sins, even those you do in secret. Then you won't be ashamed. You will be confident and fearless. Your troubles will go away like water beneath a bridge, and your darkest night will be brighter than noon. Then you'll rest safe and secure, filled with hope and emptied of worry. These verses are loaded. Let's just kind of unpack it. The first thing he says, you need to surrender your heart. Surrender the pocket of shame. Surrender the fear. Surrender the pain pocket and turn to God in prayer. Give up your sins, even those you do in secret. Then you won't be ashamed. This is where the freedom can come. And the antidote, understand, is always a greater measure of the love of God in that area of your life to set you free. Your troubles will go away like water beneath a bridge. Your darkest night will be brighter than noon. You'll be safe and secure, filled with hope and emptied of worry. Circle the words confident and fearless in the middle of that passage. Here's the point. God wants to get you and me to a place in life where we are confident and fearless, so that we become one of the first four ice skaters Not like the fifth one that just skated a circle around the rink. He wants us to be someone that is available to serve and willing to step out, take some risks, go for it. And the way we get there is when we first deal with what's going on inside of us that is sabotaging or undermining our confidence and our sense of fearlessness before Him. So the point is, we have to surrender. And Job says, Job 11, surrender your heart to God. That's step number one. Do it throughout the day. And the more we surrender, the more He will inhabit. Number two, every day, remember the way God loves me. In other words, we have to understand that we have the privilege of surrendering based on what He says in His Word. There's four different bullets here. The first is this: I'm completely accepted. Jesus made us acceptable to God. I want us to understand, you are accepted by God, even though there's stuff inside you, there's stuff inside me that is not what it should be. God's acceptance goes deeper, it is broader, it is wider, it is higher than your worst mistake. It's called grace. Where sin abounded, grace abounded more. His acceptance of you goes way beyond your worst failure. Bullet number two, I'm unconditionally loved. My love for you will never end, says the Lord. Here's what it means. God will not give up on you. As a matter of fact, yesterday in the women's conference, Pastor Jen was talking about Genesis, and after Adam and Eve sinned, you know what happened? God pursued them. Can I tell you, God is pursuing you, not to condemn you. He's just pursuing you to love you. He loves you unconditionally. And so He's got this pursuit going on in your life to get your attention so that we can surrender more of ourselves to find healing in our emotional beings and find some way, somehow, to get past the guilt, the shame that's got a foothold in our life. He's pursuing you. He just wants our attention. Bullet three, I'm totally forgiven. This is a powerful verse. Let's read together Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Let's stop right there. Do you feel condemned in your life? There's areas in my life I feel condemned yet. Maybe you're past that. I'm not. And I got to work on some things. But this says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. None. Circle the word no. In other words, because of His unconditional love, His acceptance, He's pursuing you with a passionate love. He says, you're totally forgiven. You are totally forgiven. All what you have to do is open our hearts and let Him do it. Let Him do the deeper work of total forgiveness. There's no condemnation. We need to go to work on fighting against it and getting rid of it. Fourth bullet. I'm considered extremely valuable. I'm considered extremely valuable. Read with me 1 Corinthians 7:23. You've been bought and paid for by Christ's death. God already paid the price for heaven. And a part of that is you and I have already been bought and paid for the other things in life, which is grace and wholeness and health in our emotional beings. I mean, the price has been paid. You're valuable. You know what makes something valuable? What a person is willing to pay, but also who owns it. In other words, this is a hot housing market. If somebody's willing to pay over asking price, well, it makes it valuable because they're willing to pay the price. But you know what else is very important? Who owns it? You know, if somebody like Michael Jordan or a president or someone high level owns something, just because of who they are, it could be more valuable. Do you realize God owns you when you give your life to Him? He owns you. He makes you valuable. You know why? He paid a price for you, the death of His Son. And He says, hey, you're extremely valuable to me. And if we are valuable, listen, He will go after your shame factor. He will go after the pocket in you that we struggle with, that undermines our relationships with other people. He wants to defeat the fears that mess with or diminish our relationships with the people closest to us. You know why? He wants you to be like the first four skaters. They're out there going and engaging in life rather than being the fifth skater who's skating a safe circle around the ring, just playing it safe. That's what shame does. It immobilizes us. Well, the third point is this. Every day, offer that same life to others. You can offer this love to others. Read with me Romans 15:7. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Here's the tall order. If you're accepted by God the way you are, warts and all, fears and all, you're accepted fully, totally embraced by Him, He wants us to accept other people the same way. There's a book out titled, How to Make People Really Feel Loved. Isn't that a great title? How do you make people in your family feel really loved? There's certain things you and I can do that can make any person we bump into feel really loved. You know what it is? You just extend grace. You love people. You try and prop them up. And doesn't mean we have to deal with, there are times we have to deal with the bad stuff. Can't negate that. But for the most part, when we love people, it means love never stops being patient. Are you patient with the people closest to you in your life? You can make them feel really loved if you're just patient with them. Love never stops believing. You got kids or grandkids that they're in your life. Hey, just keep believing in them, even when they mess up. Love never stops hoping. Keep that candle lit in your life that you're filled with hope. Love never gives up on people. So circle the word never. There's four of them there. How do you make people feel really loved? I don't know. You just keep on loving them the best that you can. Lift them up. Be that positive presence in their life. Well, let me just kind of summarize everything as we come to the conclusion here. 1 John 4:18. This kind of summarizes it all. Here's the verse. Let's read it. Wherever God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love drives out all fear. Now, that's real simple. Wherever God's love is greater in proportion and supply and presence compared to the fear, the shame, the guilt, love will win out. And so if we're dealing with something, a fear in our life, we have to let His love invade that area in order to have the fear being driven out. Here's the last slide of the morning. You've seen it before. Let me walk you through it. Is there something in your life today, a fear, that is impacting your relationships? And maybe it makes us feel like the fifth skater. We're just skating safely around the ice. You know why? It's just creating distance. In our relationships, we can become defensive. We're demanding. I mean, that's how it is for all of it. That's how it's been for me. But you and I need to take that area and surrender it and let God's presence touch it to transform us. And when we do that, perfect love casts out all fear. Galatians 2:21, Paul says, I do not set aside or frustrate the grace of God. You see, when you and I really believe the grace of God is greater than the fear in our life, we're going to go after it. We're going to conquer it. We're going to overcome it. And I want to end on this note. The grace of God, Paul says, do not set it aside. Do not discount what it can do in your life. Do not frustrate God by saying, God, I don't believe you can do it for me. No, go after it. I do not set it aside. I'm going to make grace my personal treasure and possession, and God will say, I will set you free of your fears, because wherever God's love is, It casts out fear. Let's pray. Just bow your heads and your hearts. I want you to think of the area or areas where you need to just surrender to God right now. It's a fear pocket. It could be guilt, could be shame, could be a lot of things. And I want you to lay hold of this truth that wherever God's love is, there's no fear because His love drives out fear. And you and I have to believe that that grace is made for us. It's made for you to overcome it. We may have been stuck in it for years or decades, but God is saying, hey, it's time to believe that I'm able. I can do this because of my love. I can lift you out of that. I can set you free. I can make you different. But we have to make it our own. So take just a moment, and I want you to surrender to God an area or areas that you need Him to touch. Just do it right now.